here's a story from The World.
Latinos in Florida have a reputation for being more conservative than Latinos in other parts of the country. Republican candidates can often count on their support. That's because almost one-third are Cuban, and they have a history of aligning with the GOP. But Democrats and progressives have been working hard to loosen that grip, and they've made some inroads. With just days to go before the midterms, Virginia Laura reports from Miami on how both parties are trying to appeal to voters.
Volunteers gather at the Museum of Graffiti in Miami for a game of dominoes, the national pastime played by Cubans of every age, gender, and class.
Usually Cubans play with double nine.
Yeah, the thing is that Cubans always want to complicate this game, so they come in.
Right before the game, Natalie Rivera was canvassing, registering voters and talking to people on the streets about the election.
Just these little conversations are so powerful, and sharing with them this information that they otherwise wouldn't get, you know, I think is really important.
The game was hosted by a group called the Miami Freedom Project, a grassroots organization formed by Cuban-American progressives. They promote civic engagement in cultural spaces in Miami, a city facing increasing housing costs and rising sea levels.
You can talk about things that you love and care about. In this case, it was, you know, climate in the city and what issues need to be addressed, and candidates who are related to kind of driving things forward in terms of climate, since we're in ground zero.
That's Leilani Bruce. Politics was never a big thing for her, but through events like this, she's becoming more active and meeting like-minded people.
We do want this to be an art workshop, so I
At an event with Cuban artists in exile, Miami Freedom Project founder Ana Sofia Peláez draws connections between the communist regime and authoritarian impulses many progressives see in the American right. Some Miami progressives who worked for Democratic campaigns in 2016 and 2018 saw a disconnect between the liberal political establishment and their own community.
You can't just show up every 2 to 4 years and just assume when you need something that people are going to be there for you.
Peláez hopes cultural gatherings will engage people year-round in local issues.
We start with the community and identify what they need, and then have that lead us to the advocacy, to the campaign, to the candidate.
Republicans have been doing a version of this for a long time, and they have reaped the rewards. Giancarlo Sobo is a political strategist and founder of PR and marketing agency Visto Media.
These Republican National Committee, these RNC community centers, in places where, you know, Hispanics can come in, they get information about an upcoming election, they can sign up to volunteer, but they also do things like host citizenship classes, teach them small business skills.
Sopo led Donald Trump's national 2020 Hispanic advertising.
People who come from Latin America and escaped left-wing dictatorships, they're not going to want to align with the left-of-center political party. They're going to want to align more with the conservative party.
In the 2000 election, George W. Bush narrowly won Florida thanks in part to the large turnout of Cuban voters. In 2004, his support among Cuban Americans was 78%. While Barack Obama made some gains with Cuban voters, in 2016 and 2020, more than half supported Donald Trump. Guillermo Grenier is a professor at Florida International University.
The water that we swim in here is a Republican normative water that was established way back.
Cubans are 35.6% of the population in Miami, but it's more than numbers. He looks at the city's migration patterns like an archaeological site.
Down here you have the Cubans, and then you have another layer of Cubans, and you have some Nicaraguans, and then you have some more Cubans. You have another Nicaraguans, and you have Venezuelans. And, you know, it's kind of like a layered migration landscape.
Newcomers build on the foundation of the Cuban-American establishment, which has had a stronghold on Miami institutions from the media to local politics since the 1980s. Grenier runs FIU's Cuba poll on Cuban-Americans' political attitudes. He sees a pattern. Newer immigrants and younger Cubans tend to be more liberal, but eventually, they fall in line.
Hi, is Jeanette available?
David Enriquez is volunteering at a bilingual phone banking event. He used to be a diehard Republican, but in college, at the University of Florida, he met Kendrick Meek Jr., son of former Democratic Representative Kendrick Meek.
And when I talked to him about dictatorship and communism, he didn't just say, you're another radical Cuban-American, you know, you're unwinnable. He saw me as a person.
They became friends. Talked a lot about Cuban history and politics, but the turning point came when they went to see late civil rights leader Representative John Lewis speak, and he thought,
how can I be the grandson of two political prisoners, two men who lived their lives until the very last day, fought for human rights in Cuba, and be a part of the political party that has an active agenda of voter suppression throughout the South?
He switched his party registration the next day. Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis and Senator Marco Rubio, the country's highest-ranking Cuban-American in politics, are on the ballot again. A strong majority of Cuban-Americans are expected to back their re-election bids on Tuesday. Progressives hope their conversations with voters this year will be laying the foundation for future elections. For The World, I'm Virginia Laura in Miami.
Virginia Laura's reporting comes to us from Feet in Two Worlds, a project that brings the work of immigrant reporters to public radio. On Monday, we're off to Texas to hear how Democrats and Republicans are trying to court Latino voters there.